Well, Dennis sent me a message yesterday, and this is not the message. This is something the Lord put on my heart.
Well, light bearer now.
You get the light bearing theme here. You'll get one. And, Dennis said, I said, because I won't be teaching tomorrow. I said, well, does that mean you're not coming or you're not? Does that also mean you're not coming? He said, I'm not coming either. So, in his world, not teaching means not coming. But he's a gifted teacher, and we certainly appreciate his things that he shares with us each week. I have gave a message on Sunday from the book of Philippians, and I'd like to have Chris show you a little bit. Chris might have these ready. These were from Sunday. Some of you were there Sunday, couldn't be there. This is not in this building. This is on the new property. Yes. We already showed potential of completely filling our new parking lot. But what a wonderful celebration, and people who are part of our church, most people who are part of the church were there. We had a couple people that were with Grace Lighthouse from the very beginning, Bill and Callie. I think, Chris, you have a picture of the two shovel. Some of you know Callie Davis. Andy Davis, some of you know Andy. Andy was able to come for a bit, but doesn't drive, so now living in Mashpee, can't quite get here as easily. But this is Andy's mom. And Callie goes way back with the founding pastor of this church, Mark Milliken. And I said, you know what? Since you were here from the beginning, I want you to put the shovel in the ground on Sunday. And the other one was Bill Crandall. And Bill also has been, Bill's a real encouragement and has battled diabetes and all types of issues. You got a picture of Bill there, Chris? Okay, anyway, doesn't really matter. But anyway, Bill's a great guy, and I know he'd be here if he could, but doesn't drive either. So we asked the driverless people to put their shovels in the ground on Sunday. But they get here every Sunday. They love the Lord. And we put, I think, something in motion on Sunday, which really was what's next for our church. And I had been looking at the book of Philippians, which I looked at the verse 3 to 8 on Sunday with the congregation, and one of the things that I have noticed, and as you study more, you pick things up, and you pick up different, not just nuances about maybe a theme of the book, but every epistle has a unique purpose, and there are certain things that come out in an epistle that you won't necessarily see in another epistle. But one of the things that you see coming out of the book of Philippians is Paul talks a lot about partnership. He also talks about rejoicing. And for the longest time, I used to think, I know what the book of Philippians is all about. It's the theme of rejoicing. That is definitely a theme of the book. I mean, he mentions it in the one verse that you probably have heard 1,000 times. What is it, Steve? Rejoice in the Lord always. Now Steve's going to sing that verse, okay? All right, so there's the big theme. Thank you, Steve. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. But that's a theme, and that's obviously a theme. But do you realize the name of Christ, Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is mentioned 40-plus times in the book of Philippians? The theme of the book is Jesus Christ. And Paul's talking about unique partnership in the gospel with the Philippians. And he, generally, the letter is, it's primarily an encouragement and a letter of gratitude to them. A couple of things that he points out in the letter, that there was some conflict with a couple people. He calls them out by name, Udia and Syntyche. You know, he says, I urge them to get along with each other. So even in the early church, there are always challenges, because we're human and people bring humanity into their Christianity. And when that happens and we are encouraged to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that's easier said than done, right? Because we're battling, we have a lot. And I want to talk a little bit about this morning, you know, what we're up against as we're living in a world that is still very much like the world that Paul was writing to. Not a lot's changed. We think that the world is improving. No, it's just going on, and God knows that, and He has given us every remedy necessary for every generation to how to deal appropriately with all the things that we face. And so, I just want to give you a quick illustration. I don't know about you, if you had any time raise young children, or had young children in. Maybe you've been on a field trip with kids, and somebody pulls out a pair of binoculars, and you might be the first one to take the lead, and you go like something like this. Oh my! Wow! Whoa! Oh my! And you got these little kids behind you, and what are they about to say? Can I see? Can I see? Remember my daughter? Can I see? And then she'd get them, and she's not quite familiar. She's like, I can't see, you know? I can't see. I'm like, well, open your eyes, but because, you know, you got to do this adjusting thing and figuring out, because, you know, my adjustment's not necessarily good for my child. So, but anyway, so it's interesting how sometimes what we see as believers, other people don't see. And I think when you look at a book like Philippians, Paul is calling these Philippians, who 10 years before actually spent time with them. He helped found this church. And then this letter goes back to them through Epaphroditus to encourage them. Paul says, I heard about you. I've heard about your progress in the gospel. And, you know, he makes a number of affirmations about their strong faith, and, you know, but he also confronts a number of things along the way, like the Judaizers who came in. And the Judaizers, as we've talked about many times here, were those who said, you have to add the law to your Christianity. God expects you to keep the whole law in addition to Jesus. And the book of Galatians is probably the greatest defense about that one, you know. You know, he goes, because they're arguing for circumcision, that, you know, you got to be circumcised and keep the whole Mosaic law system. You are really under that law system. You can't really just say Jesus did it all. But Paul says at one point in the book of Galatians, I wish they'd go the whole way and cut it off, basically. They'd be cut off. So he's saying, you know what, if they're that committed to doing this, then they might as well remove, you know, castrate themselves, which I don't think he really wanted them to do, but that's how adamant he was, that you can't add anything to the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's why 40-something times Jesus' name is mentioned throughout the book of Philippians, and we want to pay attention to this stuff. It's important that we grab hold of the theme of a letter. Because Scripture's been written for our benefit. And we don't have to reinvent it. You know, it's like, oh, so-and-so wrote a really good book on such and such. If another book replaces our primary document, which is the Scriptures, it doesn't matter so much that an author calls attention to the Scriptures. That's good. I think that's good. Books are good. But we don't want to follow some other document outside of the Word of God. These are our instructions. So I want to talk a little bit about light bearing this morning. And I want to show you a little bit of what I think we're up against. Maybe we can have some of you guys read so I don't do all the talking. Because, you know, preachers like to talk. And they don't mind. But I don't, you know, I'm also, you know, I care enough about you guys being part of this discussion too. So let's have a little fun this morning. And maybe somebody would read 2 Peter 1, verse 9.
For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he
There you go. Is there any sin in Jesus Christ?
No.
Are you in Christ? So, Christ atoned for our sin once and for all. What Peter says earlier in this, right before verse 9, he says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. See, this is important stuff because I know many and meet people weekly, if not daily, who are struggling with something that just seems to be a tension in their life that they're not happy about. And somehow they can't shake it. They're trying to shake it. And Paul says, and Peter says here, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Do you see the progression here? To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Roger, read it again.
For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins.
Amen. I am on. Okay. You know, one of the things that many of us forget to do is to remember what belongs to us. And we are working against a number of enemies that keep that from happening in our lives. In terms of, you know, do we recognize the battle that we, in what occurred to actually put your feet on the solid ground that they're on right now? Do you recognize the kingdom that you have been extracted from and have your feet placed on in new territory? It felt really good Sunday to have our feet on the new territory. As somebody said, Donnie, you said it's hallowed ground. It felt like it was. And I think in one way it has felt like hallowed ground because we've been participating in a process. A number of us have, and watching the steps happen. And so when you see that land is in XYZ name, and then it's moved into another name, there was a series of steps that had to happen to get that to happen. You didn't just show up in that property one day and say, I claim this as mine. Good luck with that. You know, if we started doing any excavation... What's that? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, people do it all the time. And it's funny how, since you brought it up, we've planted what we believe it's within 1/100th of a foot boundaries on the property. Donnie has been working with a surveyor who has a $30,000 piece of equipment that references firm established boundaries to what our boundaries are. And so when you go over there and you plant a boundary on the neighbor's yard and he thinks it's his property, expect some sparks to fly. And that happened a little bit on Saturday. It was really actually not too bad, but... Well, he already did. He did it in front of us. But anyway, so people sometimes... We'll prove it, right? But the point really is where, how we have been moved from one section of property that was is under the dominion of Satan into the property location of Jesus Christ. And look what it calls. Somebody read Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. 1:13.
For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Yeah, see, this is the type of thing that when you revisit these truths on a regular basis of what happened because of what God did through Jesus Christ, because of what Christ allows to happen. See, Jesus is in control of the title deed of souls, ultimately. But he's also, God has also allowed a dominion of darkness that if human beings choose to stay in that realm, they're confined to that realm forever, not only here, but forever. And that's life without God. And that's something that we, as light bearers, we are calling people out of darkness into light. We are calling them to get off the dominion of Satan in darkness, in flesh, in worldly thinking. Because what Peter pointed out in that series of verses just before Roger, that you and I are to build upon our faith as if we're stepping forward into this territory that belongs to us. And there's things that you and I can add to our life that shows forth that we're not barren and unfruitful. I am rejoicing. I rejoice with my congregation because I see what God is doing. And I'm just thinking, like, let's just go in this direction together. Let's do this together. Let's be excited for what God is doing. And again, if you guys are in other congregations, the Lord bless you and use you there. May you be fruitful wherever He has you. But I it's great when you see a group of fruitful people. I mean, you know, I said to somebody, I think on Monday, complimenting the overall day, and I said, excellence breeds excellence. It really does. If you set the standard for excellence and you're fighting for excellence, it has a tendency of bringing everything up to that level. But if you settle for down here, see, leadership is not easy. It takes work. Dennis talks about the tribulation. It's like tearing up the field. You know, it's this idea of ripping it apart because you're paving a new territory. But there's hard work there. Some of that soil's just hard. Unlike our new property that's all sandy and it's going to made for a very nice perk test. Right, Donnie? But no, needless to say, I mean, when we're, we're starting something new or a new venture, even in our Christian life, this tribulation is that we're actually blazing new territory in one sense, in the domain that we actually weren't born into. And now God's given us the right to be here and He gives us ways to build properly. And I think that's important that we notice that. But look at this great rescue, for He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Wow. And transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son. I mean, this is the transfer of transfers. There's no better transfer. It's like, oh, they're transferring me to the XYZ church, or I'm going to get this job in XYZ city. That might be good, but nothing compares to this transfer. This is the transfer that every believer wants to continue to look at and be grateful. I walked to my car this morning and I said, I get to do this again. He allowed me to be here one more day to do this again. And I don't want to mess that up. And it's funny how we walked in the door this morning and immediately, I've been cautioning our congregation. I'm expecting resistance for our next steps as a church. Because I believe that Satan does not want us to bear the light of Jesus Christ to this dark, not only this dark area, but this dark world. And so Satan likes to, Paul at times, he says, you know, Satan thwarted us, you know. Now I don't give, I stay with it, that greater is He who is in me than he who's in this world. I'm not caving to that pressure, but I'm not ignorant. Paul says we're not ignorant of His schemes. So you, as a believer, want to be suited up every single day when you wake up. You say, you know what, Lord, I belong to You. I'm going to do what the Scripture says to add to my character. I'm going to do the things that You tell me to do because it's helpful. It's because I want not only to be a picture of progress. I want other people to progress. I want other people to make progress. Mike Mangum, I am so grateful. It seems like God is dropping some doozies in your lap. Amazing. So yesterday, you have to think about it. Mike spent 40 years in law enforcement. Many of those years as not somebody who was faithfully following Jesus Christ. But God, in the last 10 years or so, got a hold of him, brought him to a church over in Osterville, and then he met Dennis's daughter, Amy. Amy says, "You got to meet my dad." That led one thing to another. You think about what God has done. He brought Dennis out away from Falmouth Baptist Church to help be part of building this up. And we got to see God use Mike in some amazing ways. Mike, what happened yesterday? Here. Here you go, sir.
On my mother-in-law's car. She's 91. So I took the car down to get the change. But I go to Cormier's service on 151. I've known the guy that owns it since he was 15. Now he's 60, I guess. Pretty close. But anyway, I walked in and sat down, and I knew it was going to be a while. So I took this book in. You guys will love this. It's called The Abs Diet. And I had it. It's a bright orange cover. So what happened was, I'm sitting there, and this young woman, everybody's young, but she looked like she was probably 25 or so. She walked in, and she saw the book. She's standing at the door. She said, "I have that book." It's like four people in there. And I said, "Oh, you do?" And she said, "Yeah." She said, "I believe they even have another edition now, because I've had it 4 or 5 years. I just started reading when I really need it." But anyway, she said, "What kind of work do you do?" And I said, "Well, I was in law enforcement for about 40 years. "Where?" And I said, "In Falmouth some of the time." And she said, "Oh, my goodness. You may know a friend of mine." And she said, "Do you know Junior Costa?" And I smiled at her, and I said, "Just a minute." And I got my wallet out. "Would you pass this? I don't have 8 of these, but I want you to see that, because this thing has gotten me so much further into conversations." But anyway, I gave her a business card. It says retired law enforcement. I use that all the time just to let them know what I do. But it's a nice little verse on it that says, "Praise God, Jesus loves you." So I handed her that, and I said, "You ask Junior if he knows me." And she looked at the card, and she said, "Are you born again?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And then we started talking. I said, "Where do you go to church?" And she told me some non-denominational church. And she said, "I live in Cedarville." And I said, "Well, why don't you come visit our church sometime?" So I gave her one of those Thanksgiving dinner cards and said, "Just be sure to call so we know we have enough food." And then she said, "I really want you to help me with Junior. He's 86. She said, "I try to give him a track." She hands out the tracks like we're learning how to do. And she said, "But he won't take it. He'll look at it and give it back to me and start telling her all the problems he had in the Catholic Church. And he's not interested in doing this." So I am making a point to go find him. I haven't seen him since 1980, but I asked about him the Friday before in Falmouth how he was doing. He's had cancer, I think, but he's still doing good. But finally, it was so interesting. After she looked at that for a minute and we talked, she said, "Where is your church?" And I said, "I always say across from Benny's, because that's the only..." And she said, "Oh, I know that church. It's right by that theater place." And I said, "Well, it's not there anymore, the theater, but we are right there." She said, "Well, I may come Sunday." And I said, "I'll be waiting at the front door for you." So we shook hands, and she asked, I really believe, from looking at her face and her asking me to help with her friend, she's really worried about him dying before he's saved, which we all are. And I really was moved by that. But that card I gave you, I use it all the time on cops that I don't know. And I have this is English, but I have one in Romanian and one in Spanish. And when I don't think they're listening to me or reading it, I give them one of those foreign ones. And a cop will say, "What's this?" I've had it happen 10 times to a point. "What's this?" And I said, "Oh, I gave you the wrong one." I said, "That's Romanian, but it says, 'Praise God, Jesus loves you.'" And you get a little compensation. But I've used those for 10 years. And I've used them when I was in Moldova and also in Israel and in Peru. I just leave them, give them the airplane, people on the airplane. But not to waste your time, but I really get excited because I never had that opportunity, or I didn't take advantage of that opportunity when I was young. And now it's still uncomfortable sometimes, but it gets easier. And when they ask you if you've been born again, I'm going to tell you what, that got your attention, got my attention.
Yeah, we call that a softball. A nice one over the plate, right? Thank you, Mike. You know, and I... I think every one of us wants to be used of the Lord. I really, you know, I don't think it's awesome to be used. And sometimes it's small things too. And I think things, other things lead to other things. We've been doing a course here Sunday mornings on how to share your faith. And we have one guy, Mark, who's leading the class. He's become quite a bold witness for Jesus Christ. I mean, he's willing to go pretty much go anywhere. I mean, he was very instrumental at our, at the, Okay. Anytime I'm speaking and I hear a buzz, I think it's the microphone anyway. Mark is very comfortable being in the open air with people and sensitive to what might be the right, you know, maybe it's just giving something. So at our recent food truck festival, which was just a couple Saturdays ago, Mark gave out these $1 million bills, and you can grab a couple if you want, make people feel rich. But we said, hey, go buy something at the church table with this. And it got people to our table. But Mark's like Daddy Warbucks, you know, just passing out to the crowd, hey, want a mill? You know, and hey, never saw $1 million bucks. But on the back it says, hey, you know, you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ died for you. And so, you know, I think we should get to the point where we are comfortable in our life to step forward to the opportunity that God might want to use us in. It might be small. One of the things that Mark, the course, is just to start to be friendly to people. Just say hi to people. And God seems to open up doors. And do you know that Sunday, such an amazing closure to the closing to the time at the property. Donnie, you could tell this story better than I. So at the end of... we were done, so I think she was, the woman was here for church, and then she came over to the new property, and she said to you,
Ed had just finished the last prayer, Ed Flagg. She sat, and Dave was standing up there with Ed Flagg, so Dave was sitting next to me, the chair's empty. All of a sudden, I sense this person sitting right next to me, and she taps me on the shoulder, and she says to me, how do I get saved? I'm like, I was shocked. I'm like, okay. I think we have to call on the name of the Lord, but let's get the pastor over here. So Dave came over.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved.
Yeah.
Romans 13.
So we did, you know, she and I did that, but then I said, I think we need Dave over here, because, and then Dave brought it all down to earth where he went through some critical things with her, asking her questions about where she was, and she really demonstrated that she was on the right path already, knowing that God is the Father and God is the writer of the Bible and all those kinds of things. I was in too much of a shock. Not because she sat next to me, but the whole time I was there, and this is one thing that's been pressing since we've been here in the last hour, that as much as Satan wants to disrupt, I think the other thing, and I'm not paralleling this, I hope this doesn't come out the wrong way, but God's plowing up the earth. And when he's plowing up the earth, he's plowing each one of us. And some people in our church are going to feel they're inadequate or not worthy. I sense that in myself, but I know I am because I have Christ. But that plowing can be very arduous. And people might get, you know, like, fall off the wagon. So we as a church need to encourage them that that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That the plowing that you may sense inside because of the things that our amazing God is doing, that should generate some kind of fear in us. Not fear of him, but fear about who he is, how capable he is, how amazing he is. So we don't want to let that fear turn into a fear where they fall away, where they press into that fear.
Right.
And that to me is a difference here from other churches I've been in, where they forget the people that they already have because they're so interested in getting more people in that they've got to solidify, like what they used to do when they get attacked in the Western days, circle the wagons. Well, why did they circle the wagons? So that everybody that was going to be attacked would be inside and protected. So I think God is saying to me, we need to protect those that we have and help them understand that this is going to be an arduous plowing of the field, and they're part of that deal, but don't be afraid to stand firm.
Exactly. Exactly.
Ladies, work your way from the farthest back to a maze. Get there. I watched her because I didn't know what she was going to do back there. She worked her way all the way up. I saw her.
You know, she came up, right, she came up to say, I can't hear. Then she wound up sitting front row. Then she wound up talking to you, which was, you know, amazing how, you know, but the, what a moment to celebrate that after all that we just said, yes.
Bench told her, go tell
Lorinda.
So she did. She went over to tell Lorinda, and then she and Lorinda hugging each other, and then she says it to the, I don't know, the man that sometimes is with them. I don't know what his name is. She said, I'm saved. He's like, praise God. I don't even know who this guy is. These people are people I don't even know. It's pretty amazing.
These are things that you savor these moments. And so then the other thing, right before Mike was driving off the property, I was sitting beside his car. This is pretty cool. And this guy, he's now kind of coming around by the fence and walking onto the new property. He says, are you Pastor Dave? And I said, uh-oh, what did I do? You know. He says, I live right across the street. And he says, I'm a Christian. I've gone to a church, two churches in Plymouth. And I saw your sign this morning and you guys setting up. And I didn't know what it was. He goes, I'm just so glad this is not going to be a methadone clinic. So, you know, good news. So then we put some pieces together and to find out that his shop teacher 20 years ago is my father-in-law's best friend, Gary, who is a pastor at New Hope Chapel in Plymouth. And we put the pieces together and then happens to work out that we're at Gary's house on Sunday night. So, I mean, and I told Gary, I said, you won't believe this, but this gentleman you taught 20 years ago is now our neighbor across from our new property. So you can't make this stuff up, guys. And I got to tell you this other crazy thing. I was counting down. We were 4 days into rain. There was 36 to go. Do you get that? 36 days. You know, we had four days, so... So it looked like it was going to rain for 40 days by the, you know, it started raining on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The things that we had put on the schedule to finish up by Sunday the 13th was surveying the property. We get the break in the weather Saturday afternoon. We get a good army of guys coming over to do some things. And then Sunday, the sun just pops open in a beautiful Sunday, and then it goes back to rain on Monday. So we were, I have not really left. I'm still somewhere, some cloud somewhere. I'm still very much motivated. Yeah, no, I want us to think about, before we, I know we're getting tight here, but Paul says here in Ephesians 2, and you were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, a lot of people teach this, that you are unable to even respond to the gospel. So unless God quickened you, you couldn't have even heard the gospel. You can be in a state of being in a sinful condition, but the Bible does say that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You will only get out of this dead state of darkness by calling upon Jesus. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Someone said that we battle three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? I mean, so we're battling a worldly system that is very motivated by, you know, getting ahead, selfishness, you know, me first. And if you don't do it, no one else is going to do it for you and all this type of stuff. And so we're battling against that. We definitely have a real enemy, Satan, who's the enemy of God. And he hates God's love. And that's his church. Because you and I once resided in this domain, and the moment that we said, Jesus, I call upon you, as the scripture says, you've been moved on to new property, a new territory. You've been transferred out of that. And so we have so much to rejoice in. And he says, we know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. Think back when John wrote this. You know, he's writing to the early Jewish Christians who were, you know, he's trying to invite these Jewish Christians. You have fellowship with us, you know. If we say we Jewish people have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And so John continues to write about what does it really mean to know God in Jesus Christ. He says, and we know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. You want to get out of being under the control of the evil one, call upon the name of the Lord. Get a new address. It's called the kingdom of his dear son. Would somebody please read Philippians 2:12-18? And I think Donnie already talked about this. Donnie, you gave a nice lead-in to this passage. Who would like to read it? Nice big voice.
Therefore, my beloved,
thank you.
You have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, nor labored in vain. Yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice, in service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many practical steps that you and I can move forward in our Christian life. Move forward as part of the bride of Christ, the church. The church really needs to keep in mind that we're moving in the same direction, that we are being led by God, by His Spirit. And so Paul is saying, you know, see, he's not with them. He's writing this letter from prison. So don't underestimate your broken experience or what might be a time of maybe quiet. People who are in health crises still have a ministry. It might be using their phone to send out texts. I get some of the best texts from broken people. Broken people who are struggling. And they are working out their salvation in one sense with fear and trembling. And what pours off of their phone is, Pastor, I am just seeing how much God is at work, and this scripture meant so much to me. And then all of a sudden, this scripture is now popping up in front of my face. But you see that nothing in our life as believers should be wasted. You know, sometimes we're not always going to be at a place where, you know, it's all working, where we're super healthy and we're, you know, we're doing all these great things. There are times where we're going to get into a low spot. And God wants to use that time in our life to bring us to maybe use that time of brokenness to magnify Him in that circumstance. Johnny Erickson Tada is a wonderful example of this. For years, this woman has lived as a quadriplegic. She basically can move her head in no other part of her body. She's confined to a wheelchair. What's that?
She can move her hands a little bit.
Yeah. Or she does her artwork with her mouth.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so a lot of her life is... you know, she's not really functioning but she has encouraged so many people. And she's recently battled breast cancer. I mean, she's got a lot going on in her life that could be all the reasons that she could have a pity party. And she's acknowledged that. And she'll tell you that there are days where she was having a pity party. And we're entitled to pity parties temporarily, but we need to figure out, with the Lord's help, how to get beyond that. And the one way that a man or woman gets out of a pity party is to meditate on the Word of God and to know what belongs to you. Because you got to look at your life as you were moved from an area that you were confined to in darkness. You were dead in trespasses and sins. And God, by one call upon His name, He took you out of that darkness. And He... And there are times where what Peter was saying earlier that we read, people can forget that they've been called out of that darkness, that all their past sins have been completely, you know, paid for, because there's no sin. Let me go on record here. Does the believer still sin? Yes. But in God's eyes, a justified soul is as righteous in God's eyes as his son, Jesus Christ. And I would say that most believers don't believe that. Most believers don't believe they're as righteous as Jesus Christ. But the scripture says that. That when God sees us, he sees his son. That's why Paul would say, you need to work this out with fear and trembling. Because this is so magnificent. This transaction that occurred by God's doing in Jesus Christ, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, means that a person moves from one domain of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And that's why we have to build upon this. And if we're not being built up in our most holy faith, then we're battling the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so, I would say you have much to build on. And Paul even talks about that here. He talks about his labor. We'll get to that in just a second. He says, that, you know, because think about this. It's God who's at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. Another scripture says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. If God gives us everything that he has and classifies us as not guilty and justified, and you may have seen this one. If you break down the word justified, just as if I've never sinned. This is mind-blowing. This is mind-blowing for the believer. Just as if I've never sinned, yep. And, you know, so that's why the apostle in one point says, I was one untimely born. In other words, he wasn't with the original 12, which became 11. And he said at another point, I outworked them all. Because the revelation that Jesus gave to Paul shortly after the road to Damascus experience was a revelation of what I'm talking about here. It's the revelation of the church and how these truths were hidden in ages past. Paul calls it a mystery. These weren't things that were known, but they've been opened up. They have been put on display, and every believer should get on board with this. And that's something that I think we are working against. And, you know, people like to think that they're still somewhat responsible. And we are, in one sense, for our own progress. But we've got to go with what God did and live there and not get tired of living there. He says here, and that's why, see, when you read these instructions, they make much more sense when you realize what God's already done. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Because look at what God did for you, that you may become blameless and harmless. In other words, you see, the problem is we can still look like we have blame on us because we've not stepped into what this dominion that God says you are in. You are now this person. The scripture says, and we've said it a bazillion times in this study, if any man be in Christ, he is a... The old is gone, the new has come. That's your identity as a man of God. That's your identity. And I would pray you enjoy it. Because Paul says a day is coming, it's at the judgment seat of Christ, where we will give an account for our life. We're not giving an account for our sin because our sin has been paid for in full. But how did we manage this wonderful stewardship opportunity? How did we do? How did we work this out? Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? And so holding fast to the word of life is Jesus Christ. And if that's the only thing that we can do in this life is I'm holding fast to Him. I'm holding fast to Him because there is no greater demonstration of one's love than Jesus said that a man lays down his life for his friends. So when he dies upon that cross, he is demonstrating how much he loves you, how much he loves the world. And so hold fast to that. Jesus says to the man beside him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. So this guy's recognizing he's a king. He's got a kingdom. Scripture says that he's moved us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So Jesus is a king and he's coming again. And we are just now waiting for the rapture, actively waiting. Even if we get to build a wonderful church in the meantime. That's why I say it's never a bad time to be building. Because think of the witness. Let's just say, my hope is that we might have our first service. This is very optimistic. Christmas 2020. Well, that's true. Our first under a building service. Christmas 2020. That's a year and 3 months. 2020. No, I'm talking 2020, brother. I'm optimistic. All right? Oh, ye of little faith. No. And again, we got some hurdles, no question. But let's just say it's Easter, April 3rd, I believe. April 4th is Easter Sunday 2021. So let's just say the day before that the rapture happens. Now this church is, most of these people are gone. They're gone. It's still a witness to the community. These people just built a church and they're gone. So it's never a bad time to be building with God, even in a dark world that looks like, well, you don't have time to build because the rapture is going to. No, we are to build. There's no wasted anything for Jesus Christ. Nothing is wasted. I know. Look what we do without a building. We got two huge tents from Walmart for $200. Did you see them? You were under them. Praise the Lord. Those should have been $500 if you ordered them online, but I don't know. Walmart's got this creative way of selling things cheaper online, and then they let you pick it up in the store, and you say, this doesn't make sense. They say, I know it doesn't make sense. I'll sell it to you for the price it's online. Okay, great. It's true. Thank you, Steve. It's a prophet in the house here. One last point here. I know Tom's going to go. Love you, brother. In this day of Christ is the day where Jesus is, Paul's speaking here. This is the day of Christ is when Christ calls home his church. Tribulation period begins to unfold upon the earth, preparing the way of the Lord, where Christ is coming in full glory. He's bringing his church with him, and we're going to reign with him forever and ever. In the meantime, we've already had a reward ceremony at the judgment seat of Christ. So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain and labored in vain. You realize the works, the words, the scripture that we're reading here this morning is still impacting us right this second. These are vital words. These are words that are so important. He says, yes. And this is where I think you have to look at how our service in our life, no matter what we're doing, whether it's toil or hard work or fighting spiritual battles that we just didn't expect to be in. Yes, if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For this same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. So what he's saying is, you know what? Be happy that I get to do this because I'm investing here from prison. This has far-reaching implications beyond you, Philippians. God is writing scripture here. He's using me to write this scripture. It's being passed on to you, and it's going to be passed on to the future generations until Jesus comes. So, hallelujah. I am glad and rejoice with you all for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. In other words, we should be of the same mind when it comes to rejoicing, to rejoice that someone got saved, to rejoice that God is at work, realizing that we've all been transferred as believers from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Praise God if you didn't live in that kingdom under, you know, like you weren't the drug addict and the heroin addict and the drunkard and all that, but still you needed salvation. And that's what God does. He provides that same offer to every human being, and he can do that by Jesus. So over 40 times Paul uses the word the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Philippians because he is the one that made this all possible and is making all things possible as we continue to serve Him. So, any questions or comments or prayer requests or something before we say goodbye?